Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland, and this is Pastor George Pearson's. Join us for 2 weeks on the Believer's Voice
Hello,
of Victory
everybody.
Broadcast.
I'm Kenneth Copeland.
We're learning
this
how
is
to
the Believer's Voice of Victory Broadcast.
Faith.
And I'm going to tell you something.
Everything good
Jesus
in life
is going to do something
on
tonight.
You're using
like.
Your faith.
So,
we need to maintain
I mean,
faith to have
come
victory.
On.
And it's
Let's have a word of prayer
you,
and we'll get right
and
into today's Bible
to
lesson. Father, we thank you and we praise you.
You won't want to miss
And
these
we worship
broadcasts.
You for the word of the living God, for insight, ideas, and concepts of the life of faith that come from heaven. We open our hearts. We open our minds for revelation from heaven. Words filled with faith and power that move heaven. On the earth. We thank you for it, and we ascribe all of the glory to the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. Now then, I want to welcome all of you for coming tonight. Thank you for coming. You are helping us tonight. Let me try this side. You are helping us tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We began talking in this series about the will of God to heal. And we have followed Jesus. We followed him home. Capernaum, which is
home.
Amen. And that the headquarters, the home and headquarters of Jesus was in the city of Capernaum. And so many times in so many places in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see him either leaving home to go someplace or coming home, ministering in his own house. And we followed him, we literally followed him when he left his place and went across the lake to the area of the Gadarenes, and we were right there with him when he delivered the madman who became the compassion preacher of the Decapolis. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? And it was so important to watch him heal and deliver that man that quick. Glory to God. And I want you to know he can set you free tonight just that quick too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, and then we followed him. He went back across the lake to home, Capernaum. And Jairus was waiting for him. Of course, Jairus was the leader of the synagogue there. So he and Jesus obviously knew one another quite well. And he told Jesus what was going on at home. But we listened to Jairus declare his faith. Glory to God. You come lay your hands on her. My daughter, and she will live. Amen. And we followed him all the way to Jairus' house. And on the way, the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And what did Jesus say? Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Praise God. Faith. Oh, my. The spiritual creative force of God. Faith. Hallelujah. Then on to Jairus' house, where there he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead and left Jairus' house. And you and I were there. I mean, we followed him, didn't we? And left Jairus' house and went to his own house, which was either just next door or right close there. And then two blind men followed him home. It says when he went into the house, then they followed. They just came right on in. Well, that's the way it was around Jesus' house, you know. And of course, he healed them. Then he said, be it done unto you according to your faith. The way you have believed, I mean, that's the way it's going to happen. Well, and then we watched and we were there. When people came in, doctors of the law, just the finest donkeys in the land were parked right out there in front of Jesus' house, man. And he's teaching the word and he's preaching the word, and the power was there to heal them. And all of a sudden, somebody starts tearing a hole in Jesus' roof. And he's standing there and said, "Son, be of good cheer, boy. Your sins are forgiven you." Well, and of course, it threw kind of a curve at the religious guys there. And they got sidetracked a little bit and said, wait a minute. Can he do this? And then Jesus said, which is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee? Arise, take up your bed and walk. To prove that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sin, he said to the man, take up your bed and go home. Isn't that good? So the same power that heals is the same power that forgives. And the same power that forgives is the same power that heals. Hallelujah. Now we need to take hold of that and learn that in our own lives. Because if you're unwilling to forgive, you're blocking your healing. See, if you're balking at forgiving, you're putting pressure against your healing. But when you become a forgiver, you're open to healing. Isn't that good? Well, somebody ought to shout amen about that. I mean, hey, come on. Hallelujah. Let me say this about forgiveness too. Jesus said, and we're going to talk about this more as we go this week. Forgive if you have aught against any. That's an order. This is the Lord Advocate General of the church. He just said, forgive if you have aught against any. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is obedience. Well, I just can't forgive them. No, that's not true. Are you a human being? Then you can forgive. Well, where do you get that, Brother Copeland? If you're a human being, you have the power of decision. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision to obey God. It's a decision to obey your Savior. He said, if you have aught against any, forgive. Sir, yes, sir, they're forgiven right now. You mean that's all there is to it? No, that's the beginning of what there is to it. Because Sunday's coming. And she's going to be there. And he's going to be there. And when you see him, no. That's your flesh. And then say, oh no, I thought I forgave him. Well, did you or did you not? Well, yes, I did. Your flesh is in the habit of not forgiving them. So now you are going to have to take authority over your flesh and tell it they are forgiven. Amen. So body, you just get in line. Mind, you just get in line. And you put a big smile on your face. It's so nice to see you. You remember what Brother Moore taught about that? This coming Thanksgiving, you're going to get the chance. You know, when all of you get together. And the Trumpites are sitting over here and the oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, first thing you want to do when you get there, it's so nice to see you. Oh, I'm so glad, glory to God. And they're saying, that religious idiot is here again. Yes, the religious idiot loves you too. Because it's impossible to insult me. I am not touchy. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Well, we were there. We watched Jesus and watched him heal and deliver. Not one time Not once, not even any inkling of no. Not the slightest bit of, well, I don't know. Perfect record of healing, deliverance of anybody that would allow him to. Some of them didn't. He didn't heal everybody. There were those that wouldn't allow it. And there in his own hometown, he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief and because of the fact they dishonored him. So what did he do? He went around teaching in all of their villages. Teaching, teaching, teaching. That's the answer to unbelief. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now then, let's talk about tonight the receiving of the healing process. Healing is a process. All healing is of God. Amen? God is the one that put healing in the human body. Now, someone comes along and said, I don't believe in healing. Yeah, you do. You really do. Well, you do something to your skin or something, you expect it to heal up because you know healing's in there. Now, let me just give you just a small for instance. We say a broken bone. Healing naturally, what, 4 to 6 weeks? I've never had a broken bone, but it's something like that, right? So 4 to 6 weeks? Or say 4 to 6 seconds? Amen. Same process, though. The bone went through exactly the same process. The anointing just caused it to speed up. Hallelujah. See, that anointing will work at the speed of light if you'll turn it loose for what it's fully capable of doing there. Amen. I sense that'll help somebody. See, divine healing is not some strange thing because divine built this body. Amen. He's the one that put healing in it in the first place. And so it's the same process. So now, how do you receive that process? It is very detailed, laid out in the Word. Let's start with the Proverbs chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me. Let's look at this very carefully. And I want you to notice how always the Word of God is in play. Why do we call this God's Word? Why would you call that God's Word? Now, you know, I have a handful of books that I've written. Actually, that's not my word. Now, His Word is His bond. These are two covenants. One sworn in the blood of animals, the second sworn in the blood of Jesus. Now, can you see that? That's the reason this is God's Word. Man, that just did something to me. I know it did something to somebody online. Somebody took hold of that and said, oh, he really means this. Yes. You mean you take it literally? I take it deeper than that. I've staked my life on this book. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now then, Proverbs 4, are you there? Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them, let my words, my sayings, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, in your spirit. For they, my words, are life. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words, he said, the flesh profits nothing. My words are spirit and they are life. Now, Jesus also said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You have the spiritual capacity to hear, receive every word that God has said or ever will say. Why? You're a spirit being like Him. And spirit being needs spirit food. Faith is a spirit force. Healing is a spirit force coming out of your spirit into your flesh and into your mind. So now look at it again. Attend to my words. Now, what does that mean? That means put this word first. Put priority on the word of God. Incline. Incline means to lean. So be leaning toward the word, not away from it. Well, I know the Bible said that, but you just don't understand. No, no, lean over this way. I know the Bible said that, that must be true. So I'm receiving that. I don't care what it does to me. I don't care what I have to change. I don't alter the word to fit my lifestyle. I alter my lifestyle to fit this book. Praise God. Hallelujah. Didn't take me long to get happy. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Now, why is it so important to keep these healing scriptures, keep the prosperity scriptures, keep these scriptures, whatever it is that is the answer to your situation, you find it in the Word of God. Find the answer to the prayer before you pray it. Pray God's Word back to Him. He said it, now do it. Amen. That makes prayer really easy. If my words abide in you, you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Can you see that? So what'd you say? Start with the word first. Keep it in your eyes. Keep looking at that. Stop looking at the bad stuff. Keep looking at those scriptures. Keep looking at that word. Keep it coming in your eyes. You need to be seeing yourself with it, not without it. Amen. Take the time, particularly if there's a situation that's been in your life a long time. Take the time to see yourself without it. Take the time. I'm telling you, set some time aside where you just meditate on that word. Now that I see by His stripes I was healed. Now, how does that change this situation? Glory to God. Well, I can see that. I've been not doing this because I was afraid it's going to hurt this. Okay, I see myself doing that. Now, it'll take some time. and pray over it before you do it. So, Lord, help me with my imagination. God gave you that imagination. Don't be afraid of it. But you take very careful attention what you put in there, because it is a powerful thing, your imagination. Glory to God. Now then, keep them in the midst of your heart. These words are life unto those that find them. The casual reader doesn't find them. But the one that meditates on them, the one that feeds on them, feeding your spirit, taking time to do that, putting that first place, and you meditate on it. I've had times that you just go a long period of time going and doing these very same things, and one morning, whoa, yeah, that's it. Nothing changed but you. What happened? Faith came. Faith came. Gloria calls it, that's when faith boils over. And notice this, life to those that find them, and health, the cross-reference says medicine. That word translated health is the Hebrew word medicine. The Word of God, the Word, meditating on the Word, inclining your ear unto the Word, keeping it in your eyes and in your ears, keeping it in the midst of your heart, finding them is medicine to your flesh. And you cannot overdose on it. Amen. In fact, just lock in on it and double the dose. Then triple the dose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're talking about receiving healing. We know. We don't guess. We don't wonder about it anymore. We know for a Bible fact it is always God's will to heal. It is all, let me say this. All sickness, all disease, all poverty, all human suffering, every bad thing, every bad storm, all bad weather, all of it is the result of a terrible hatred in the heart of Satan for mankind. He is the author of all death. He is the author of all pain. He is the author of all stress. He is the author of all death. He's the author of all of it. Amen. And the curse is threefold: spiritual death, which is being separated from God. You know, the Bible said, when you were dead in your sins, well, those people hadn't died and gone to the grave. No, they still walking around, but they're dead. Why? Separated from God. Amen. So spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. That's the curse. But Jesus was made a curse for us. Oh, hallelujah. He bore that curse. So redemption is threefold: eternal life, healing, and financial prosperity, which includes the meeting of all of your needs being supplied according to His riches in glory. Amen. Amen. It's really that simple. Now, religion has complicated it, and people, you know, you have to really have help to misunderstand this book. And we've had some really high-priced help over here. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I've done a pretty good job messing it up in my own mind from time to time. And the Lord said, come on, go back to the basics, son. It ain't that hard. Just get back. Well, yeah, but now just come on. Anyway, so receiving healing is a spiritual process. Healing is a process, like we said. Whether it's instant or whether it's over a period of time, then the physical body goes through the same healing process. And if you receive it instantly, glory to God. Or it may take healing progressing. Amen. I'll take it any way I can get it. Yes, amen, and glorify God in it. Now then, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all of their flesh. Now that is the Bible prescription for receiving healing from God. That's it. But the thing about a prescription, you have to take it. You can have it, you know, doc, I'll tell you what, I'm telling you, if anything, I'm getting worse instead of better. Well, I gave you that prescription today. Yeah. I went and got it filled immediately. Well, have you been taking it? No, but I got it sitting right there next to my bed. I mean, I read it every morning. What's the problem with that? The medicine is not getting into the system. Huh? It's not getting into the system. Let me ask you a question. How many of you had lunch today? I guess the rest of you are pretty hungry, huh? Somebody on the front row had breakfast or lunch today? This guy knows what he's doing. How you doing, man? I ain't seen you for a while.
I know.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
Amen. I'll be back, man. You remember what you ate?
Yes, sir.
You remember what it tastes like?
Yes, sir.
If you had to, you'd probably describe it, couldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. How much good is that going to do you tomorrow? You probably remember tomorrow at lunch what you had today.
Yes, sir.
And describe it. Well, what about 2 days from now? It's going to pretty well be gone. Why? You can remember what that potato tastes like. You know exactly what a potato looks like. Oh, yeah. And you can describe it prepared in several different ways. Some of them good for you, some of them not. But you probably tried them all. And you can describe how they all taste. You can remember potatoes from now on. And the memory of a potato has never nourished anybody.
Amen.
That's right. Yes.
You can memorize scriptures, and that's good. Don't misunderstand me here. That's a good thing to do. Good thing to do. Good for your brain. It's good for your mind. It's good for you to feed on these things by memorizing them. But memorizing them won't feed you.
Amen.
Now you see why it's so important. Take the time and feed on it. How do you feed on that scripture? You make the decision, I choose to believe this.
Amen.
Now something happens inside the human spirit when you decide to believe something, particularly when you say it.
Yes, yes.
Now you can compare this to your natural physical body and feeding it. you decide to eat, it won't be long until you will be hungry. Because you decided to eat. And when you decide to eat, the juices start working. Now, did you have to tell them to do that? Stomach. No. That's involuntary. Now, switch that over to the spirit man. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh. Faith is coming right now. If you've made a decision to believe what the Lord has sent me here to deliver to you. Amen. It's coming. Because that's the way the system is made. You can't change it, and neither can the devil. Amen. Now then, let's say that the moment you say, I believe, and it's not a slang expression, I believe, something happened in here. Something happened. I believe. Say it.
I believe.
Glory
to God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, those of you that have been here all three nights, when you said that, it had some to it when you said it. I mean, your believer's got some growl in it tonight. Hallelujah. But now, it's important that we understand and have some concept of this, because it takes the mystery out of faith and receiving. In years ago, Gloria and I, this was before we had learned anything about how to use faith. This was before I went to ORU, and before we ever heard Brother Hagin and so forth. And I had the flu. I mean, tell you, I was really hurting. I had driven Gloria to the cleaners, and I was sitting out in front of the cleaners, and I was so sick. And I thought, man, she's going to have to drive home. I just feel so bad. And I had my Bible laying there in the seat, and I had it open to 1 Peter 2:24. That himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. If ye were, I was. If I was, I am. Which means that belongs to me. So I don't have to talk God out of something that I already have. That's just that simple. I don't have to talk him into saving me. I'm already saved. I've been saved a long time. I've already received it. You understand? Anyway, so, and I'm sitting there, and I picked up my Bible, and I just held it up. Now, notice how the Spirit of God was leading me. I didn't know to do this. I put my finger on that verse, and I read it out loud. And I said, Lord Jesus, I choose to believe this right now. By your stripes, I was healed. So I am right now. And I just sat there and praised him and thought about that. And then a few minutes, she came out. By the time she came out and got in the car, I thought, well, I believe I'm good enough to drive home. And by the time we got to the house, I'm feeling pretty good. I thought, well, you know, I feel like maybe I can go ahead and eat supper now. By the time we went to bed that night, I'm feeling really good. And I got up the next morning, no symptoms at all. Now, that's the kind of flu shot you want. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it's important to understand that the Spirit, your spirit knows how to do this. Do you remember that Jesus compared the human spirit to soil in the earth? Yeah. talking about soil, talking about the human heart and the seed that you put in there. If you're hard-hearted, then the seed won't grow. Well, the seed knew what to do. Your spirit knows what to do. You go, if you've got good soil, and you've got water, you've got sunshine, and you've got a good seed, it'll grow. The ground knows what to do. The seed knows what to do. The water knows what to do, and the sunshine knows what to do. You don't have to take a botany class to find out about that. It'll work. In fact, the ground tries to grow everything you put in it. You put a fence post in the ground, it'll try to grow it. And in order to grow it, it has to rot the cover of the seed and break it down. So it tries to break down that fence post. That's the reason fence posts rot. The ground's trying to grow it like it was a tree. It's just the system working. Amen. And everything you keep pumping in here is going to grow. Some of it you better pray for a crop failure. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the system works. Amen. Now then, keep, look at the 23rd verse. Keep your heart, your spirit, with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. That word issue is forces. Out of your spirit come life forces. Amen. All of the spiritual forces, faith, love, is God, wisdom, righteousness, hallelujah, healing, amen, wisdom and understanding. That's all in here because He's in here. Jesus has made unto us wisdom. The wisdom of the ages is on the inside of you right now. The trick is getting it from here to here. Another part of that tricky part is don't allow your spirit man to be buried and weighed down under the weight of your carnal mind and your physical body. There's a giant in there trying to rise up. So get in proper order. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you remember that? That you be made whole, spirit and soul and body. Your soul and your spirit are not the same thing. Can't be. Because the Word says that, the Bible says that the Word divides asunder the spirit and the soul. Spirit, soul, and body. In that order. Spirit, that's you. Soul, that's your intellectual being. Body, you know what that is. It is not body, mind, and soul. Let's see, body, mind, and soul. So actually what you said was mind twice. So you're not even in that equation. But see, that's how fouled up it can get from all different kinds of sources and ideas. This is Heaven's operating handbook. You don't go get a book from Ford Motor Company and try to figure out a Cadillac. If you're driving a Cadillac or a General Motors product, you need to go get their book. Amen? Because you try to follow that way, it won't work that way. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Don't go get other people's books and try to find out what your soul is. Stay away from that stuff. Oh, well, the truth about the Noah's flood, the truth about Noah and the flood is in here. Don't be like that professor that said to this young girl, well, you see, could not be possibly true about Jonah and the whale. Because you see, the throat of a whale is much too small to swallow a human being. She said, I don't care what you say. I believe the Bible. I believe it happened just exactly like it said. You can't possibly believe that. Oh, but I do. Yes. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to him about it. He said, what if he's not in heaven? She said, well, then you can talk to him. It happened just like the book said it happened. It didn't happen the way you understand what I'm talking about. Praise God. Protect this. Protect this spirit. Protect your inner man. Look, hey, that's where you live. That's where your life is. I'm telling you what, when this inside part stops, all the rest of it stops. Amen. Hey, listen to me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. My spiritual father, Oral Roberts, he called me on the phone one day, and I'm telling you, he was hollering in the telephone. I said, what is it, sir? Well, he said, you know, they put this old stent in my artery back there years ago. And he said it only had a certain lifespan. But he said they got a new one now that's for life. And he said they want to go in there and take that one out and put this new one in. And he said, they've been telling me oral, that's too big a risk. Now just take your medicine and just be quiet. Risk? He was hollering at the phone. Risk? Telling Oral Roberts not to take a risk? They said, Oral, you might die. He said, well, so what? On the other side of that is stunning. Hey, we're looking for stunning. We're looking for Jesus. And he is stunning. Somebody give him a praise right now. Hallelujah. But we need to realize that this inner man needs attention. This inner man needs to be fed properly. This inner man needs a constant, continual diet on the true Word of God, the Word of faith. The reason why the Apostle Paul called it the Word of faith in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans is because it is the source of the faith of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm excited about this tonight. I'm telling you. Amen. The older I get, the bigger it gets on the inside of me. Praise God. Protect it. Keep it. Put away from you a disobedient mouth and perverse lips. Put far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Straight at what? The Word. Straight at the Word. Keeping it on the Word all the time. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Healing is not always received. It's always there. Always comes. How do we know that? Because Jesus is always there. I don't care where you are, He's there. I don't care on what mountaintop, He's there. I don't care on in what valley, He's there. I don't care what penitentiary you go into, He's there. I don't care what church you go into, He's there. I don't care what department store you go into, He's there. He's ready to be received. The Bible calls Him wisdom, and wisdom is flowing in the concourses of the world, crying out, "Hey, stupid, how long are you going to stay stupid? I'm here." Yeah. Yeah. Gloria said to me one time, she said, "That's absolutely right. The sun will shine on anybody that'll get out in it." You said that, didn't you? Yeah, she did. That's good. You know, and it'll rain on anybody that'll get out in the rain. The rain doesn't stop and say, "What church do you belong to?" No, you're going to get just as wet. You know, there's Baptist wet, Methodist wet. Amen. Whoever's out in the rain going to get wet. Whoever will receive it, it's there. That's the way you got born again. I got born again in the living room of our little apartment. Amen. Gloria got born again in the living room of the house we lived in that I messed up so bad. Went and caused us to be completely, totally, absolutely busted. And I'm out looking for a job. And she's sitting in that house on a rented rollaway bed with an old ugly, ugly, ugly coffee table I made in shop class. Oh, man. And a broke TV. Picture on it about that wide. And she picked up, my mother sent me a Bible every birthday. So she's reading an inscription in that Bible that my mother sent, and then she read the scripture that God even takes care of the birds, and she just said, "Well, Jesus, take my life and do something with it." And He did. Now, she'd never heard the word salvation. She'd never heard the new birth preached. We hadn't been married for 6 months, and I sure wasn't preaching it. But I mean, you know, I was raised in Southern Baptist Church, and of course, my mama and daddy raised me right. It wasn't their fault I turned out like I did. But at least I knew, you know, what you're supposed to do. So now I found a job. We moved out of that place and moved into this furnished apartment. See, she started praying. That happened about 2 weeks before what happened to me. She's praying. So things are changing. And all of a sudden, I got a job. Good job. All of a sudden, we found a brand new furnished apartment. Nobody had ever lived in that little apartment. You think that wasn't nice coming out of that, off of that $6 a month roll-away bed? Yeah. With a little mattress. Oh, no, you don't even want to go there. And, oh, it was wonderful. And we had just moved in there. And I flew my first trip for this new company, and I flew a man that was an executive with the Arkansas-Louisiana Gas Company. And I flew him from Little Rock, Shreveport. His name was Weir. And I got back to our little apartment. Oh, it even smelled new, you know. And in glory. And hey, we had a paycheck. We had food. Amen. I won't go into all that other, but we didn't have food in the other house. We had food. What? Oh, yeah. I ain't got time to go in. The first apartment we had, the first night we were there, the train liked to hit the house. Boy, you think that's not a rude awakening about 3 o'clock in the morning? Whoa, whoa. Ah, wah! And here comes this train. I'm telling you. our apartment was the last thing on that street, see? And that train just turned just before it hit the house and went over there and went down the side. And the whole house is shaking. We're doing much better today. I didn't want y'all to think. The reason we're doing better today is because of this right here. Hallelujah. And I came in that night and everything was good, man. Brand new apartment and Gloria's in there cooking real food. And my mother had given us a 25-pound sack of potatoes. See, they didn't know we were in the shape that we were in. And she had been, that's all we had. And she had been cutting those potatoes up and putting them in the bottom half of a drippolator coffee pot and boiling those potatoes. And we had potatoes for breakfast, potatoes for lunch, potatoes and stuff. This is a new place and no potatoes. And so, glory to God. Sitting there, Gloria was preparing supper, and I walked into the little kitchen dining area there, and I sat down to put my, took my suit and everything on, changed my shoes. And one shoe on and the other one about to put it on, and I want you to know Jesus came into that room. But now see, she'd been praying for me for a couple of weeks. I didn't know it. She hadn't said anything to me about any of it. And I shut my eyes. I said, oh God. And I heard these words right in here. If you don't get straightened out with me, you're headed to a devil's hell. I said, I know it. I know it. What do I do? I heard my Sunday school teacher's voice. We called her Old Lady Taggart. That's because she was old and she was a lady. And we called her that to her face, and she called herself Old Lady Taggart. And she wore this little straw hat, and she was really something. And, you know, in Southern Baptist Sunday School, they promote you just like school. That's one reason I didn't like it. It's too much like school, but the reason I didn't like it, because I was a heathen. But anyway, I heard her voice. See, the seed of her voice was still in my spirit. I heard her voice. Boys, you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. So I did. And he did. And this terrible, I don't know how to explain. I've been trying all these years to explain this. The best thing I can say is if you were born in a boiler room and raised there and suddenly somebody shut the boiler down, it'd be the loudest thing you ever heard in your life, the silence. And it stopped. The war on the inside of me that'd been going on in me since I was 9 years old. If I had time, I could tell you the day it started. Oh, my. But it stopped. Oh, Jesus. And I was in love with him that very second. And we'd drive down the street and I'd see church steeples. I want to know what kind of church it was. What, you know, just every church looked good to glory in me. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, we're both of us scripturally illiterates, but we liked it. Now, Gloria didn't stay that way long. I mean, she got in that word immediately and she's been in it, you know, ever since. So, the thing I'm saying to you is, protect this inner man. Your life is in there. The desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But you don't stay on milk. You're supposed to be growing. this time next year, you ought to be able to use your faith more efficiently than you can tonight. This time next month, you ought to be able to use your faith more efficiently than you can tonight. On purpose, knowing exactly what you're doing, using your faith the way a mechanic uses a tool. It is a spiritual tool for your use. I can prove to you that Jesus called your faith your servant. Your servant. He has given us faith to serve us in the kingdom of God. But that faith is part of the forces on the inside of you and on the inside of me. And it needs to be protected and looked over. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just stop here and praise God for a moment. Just praise Him here for a moment. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now then, let's go over to Mark, the 11th chapter. Now, we have read God's prescription for receiving healing. And that prescription gave us certain elements that have to do with faith. So let's go over to the 11th chapter of Mark's gospel. And Jesus left Bethany, going to Jerusalem. And verse 12, on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, saw a fig tree afar off, having leaves. He came if happily might find anything thereupon, and so forth. He walked up that fig tree and said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They went on to Jerusalem. Now, they went into Jerusalem. They were there all day. They left and went back to Bethany. Then the next morning, they're headed back to Jerusalem. As they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Say roots. Roots. That's a very, very important piece of information. Spiritual things are inside out, not outside in. A lot of people have the idea that God is going to minister healing to me like a medical doctor. He's going to do something to this flesh. No, that came from our outside in environment, the way we were raised, the way we thought. Everything that we needed was somewhere out there, and we needed to get it out there and get it in here. And we came into the New Testament with that same idea that God has it all, and somehow or another, I have to get Him to bring it in here, when actually He's already transferred it all in here. Yeah. Yes, sir. Come on. Yes. All the money you will ever need or ever could want is right in here. Oh, Brother Copeland. Brother Copeland. Because Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. So we function in here and our faith goes out there. Your faith will make you whole. But it's inside out. So that tree dried up from the roots. Jesus said, have faith in God. The cross reference says, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Jesus has just demonstrated how God uses His faith. It's God's faith to start with. Let's go from here quickly to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I want to show you something here. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds... Now look. The worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All material things, all matter that came into being when God spoke, light be, light was, were created. They weren't created out of nothing. It didn't say nothing. It said it was created out of a force you can't see. And it was the force of faith. That's exactly what he started this with. You know, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now then, so Jesus then used that tree to demonstrate how that faith worked. Same thing happened on the day of creation. God believed it in himself. Huh? He believed it. He could see it on the inside. That's what hope is. That's the inner image built by the Word of God. You see yourself well and healed, you speak it, and your spirit and your faith will bring it to pass. Because it'll connect with the living Spirit of God. Amen. Demonstrating how it worked. And it'll work the same way over your finances. It'll work the same way in other things where you're using faith to change something or faith to receive something. So, notice what he said. Have faith in God. My cross reference says, have the faith of God, or this is the way the God kind of faith works. Now, the reason Jesus brought this up in such detail is because God is a spirit, but so are you, and so am I. We're spirit beings, so we can do everything he said here. We have the spiritual authority. We have the spiritual capacity. We have the spiritual equipment to do the very same thing he does. Now, he used his faith and created a universe with it. You know, you and I might struggle with a BB. But it's the same faith. Are you listening to me? It's the same faith. Works the same way. Hallelujah. I mean, that ought to be enough to set you on fire right there. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, notice how important words are. God created using his faith with words. The words were the containers, spiritual containers. Now you think about it. Words carry faith. Words carry fear. Words carry love. Words carry hate. The power of death and life are in the tongue. God created the heaven and the earth with words. The scripture says he upholds all things by the word of his power. So we live in a word created, word upheld, word dominated environment. You can't get away from that, my brother and sister. Nobody can get away from it. Every speaking human being on this earth their entire lives are the result of what they've been saying.
Well, I don't know, Brother Copeland.
Don't start that. Don't go there. Don't get over into that area, because when you do, you choke off your faith and you begin to license Satan to operate freely in your life. Amen. Because not knowing about it is no excuse. Particularly in this United States where there's Bibles at Walmart. I mean, come on. And besides that, how many translations are you carrying around in your phone? A bunch, I hope. Amen. Glory to God. It's exciting. But that means there's no excuse. So when you find it out, that's what Jesus was talking about. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what we were talking about in the book of Proverbs. Attend to His words. Make His word first place. Put it in your heart. Meditate on it and speak it out with your mouth. Cause your words, cause your words to do their duty. You were given the ability to speak like God for a reason. You are a free moral agent, and you have the right to choose what words you speak and speak them. Amen. Amen. Whosoever, anybody can do it, because it's a spiritual law. Amen. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, start believing. When you pray, start believing. Say it with me. When you pray, start believing. Hallelujah. Now, we've already talked about believing. Yeah, but I don't feel any different. Forget your feelings. They don't know anything anyway. What do you do? Make the decision. Therefore, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. That's all while you're still praying. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. It's not because He's refusing to forgive. Because forgiveness is there. But when you won't forgive, you got Him bound up. He can't. He can't cleanse you of that unrighteousness. Why? Because you won't fix the unrighteousness. But if you forgive, if you have aught against any, and you go to your heavenly Father, and you say, Father, thank you very much. I forgive, and I mean it. I forgive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess it as a sin, and I believe I receive my forgiveness. You follow me? I believe I receive I'm using my faith now, just like it says here. I believe I receive my forgiveness and my cleansing from all unrighteousness. If you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, what do we have left?
Righteousness.
And I am now again the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Come on, give the Lord praise over that. That's good. Now then. Thank you, Lord. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You go to those promises, and you find those promises and you feed on them and you feed on them and you then you feed on them and you feed on them and you begin to say it. Praise God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Arthritis, you are a mountain and you are a name. And Jesus is a name above every name that's named. Arthritis, you bow your knee to the name of Jesus and I cast you into the sea. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I believe I receive my healing from arthritis. I've had people come up and say, Brother Copeland, will you pray for my arthritis? No. Well, why not? Well, I'll pray for you if you want me to. I'm not praying for your arthritis. You still own it. Jesus bore yours. Oh, okay. Well, you pray for me that don't have arthritis. No, not yet. You see, people say, well, you just always miss, you're just so picky. I'm healed. Yes, I'm picky. I'm very picky about what goes in my heart, through my eyes and ears, and what comes out my mouth. I am very, 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 very picky because I'm a soldier in training. Like my flight instructor used to tell me, my first instrument instructor used to tell me, Kenneth, a monkey can get close. Okay. You know. In other words, do it right. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. I let, you know, 5 or 10 degrees off, or 2 degrees off is too many. Man, he did, and hey, that's what he's supposed to do. Amen. Keep me from sticking that thing up like a dart out here somewhere. Well, we need to be even more picky than that about the issues of life. Amen. We're in training, hallelujah, and we're getting stronger every day. Yeah, we're picky. Amen, hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord some more praise. I'm Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just cannot say enough. Go through the Bible and look for Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25. Oh, it's all over the Bible. Look at the day that David killed Goliath. David said, I'm going to take your head off your shoulder. Amen. The minute he said it, that giant was dead. His faith was released. Now, Hollywood's version, David was... The Bible said he ran after him. Man, he got that sling in his hand. Don't forget the staff. He could take that, he'd take that snap, that staff and wrap that hook around a wolf's neck and snap his neck with it like that. Fight with it. But somewhere in there, he obviously put that stick down. And here he came. And the devil's got something to say. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. And that's the last thing he said. Oh, yeah. The devil's always got something to say. But he only has empty words. He has no power. He is powerless. Jesus has brought him to naught. He destroyed him. He has no power. The only power he has to get your power and use it against you. He has no power. Zero power. Amen. Just go through the Bible and take a good look at it. Boy, David got through talking and he said, moreover. And it came on him then. And he said, he went worldwide suddenly. That the whole world will know there's a God in Israel. You want me to tell you the cool part of that story? Where was Goliath from? Huh? Yeah. Gath, if you're from the United States. Goth, if you're from somewhere else. Do you know where David chased the Philistines? Back to Goth. I think that is just beautiful. He ran them all the way to Goliath's hometown. Maybe that don't do as much good for you as it does for me. Amen. Hallelujah. What did that? Faith in God. He believed it and he said it. Amen. And he acted on it. Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25. Hallelujah. All right, now. Thank you, Lord. I want us to go over to the 14th chapter of Acts. I want you to see this in operation. Acts chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Now notice the seventh verse. And there they preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel. Now how does faith come? Faith, we've quoted this a bunch. Let's go over there to the book of Romans and let's put our eyes on it. Romans chapter 10. Verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. Well, now there's something in it. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall descend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from the above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does faith say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. It's saying here, we don't go around saying, oh, Jesus, if you had just come down and heal me. Oh, I know there are those that are saying that. But that's not faith talking. Well, Jesus, oh, just come up. You just got to come. No. Faith, that's not faith. What does faith say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and so forth. Then you come down to the 17th verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. Read it with me. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I heard Brother Hagin say this more than once. Faith doesn't come by having heard. Just because you heard it a couple of times. Faith came while you were hearing it. But you have to keep feeding it. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Oh, praise God. I love that. Now then, let's go back over there to the book of Acts once more. 14th chapter. And there they preached. Huh? There they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. Heard him speak what? Let's read it like this. The same heard Paul preach the gospel. Who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Now what happened? Faith came. He heard. Faith came. But what if when the Apostle Paul said, stand upright on your feet, what if suddenly he just gotten back over in the natural and said, I can't. I'm crippled. I never have. I don't know how to walk. No, he just jumped up and ran off. Amen. Be determined. I mean, you have to talk to yourself. I mean, you have to live in it. You have to make the decision and stay with it. Praise God. That I'm not staying here. I'm not staying in this condition. I don't care. I'm not staying in this condition. I'm not staying broke like this. You understand? I'm telling you, God's got something better for me than this. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let me put something else out here to you. Your financial life is not dependent on your job. Your financial life is dependent on Jesus. And he's not bound to your job. It's amazing the time that we live in. Now, I'm going to talk about somebody right now, nearly everybody in the room, particularly if you're from around here. You know Rick and Denise Renner. And they were here not long ago here at EMIC. While they were here, Gloria and I were talking to them on the phone. And Denise said, I got a testimony to tell you. I said, okay. She said, my eyesight was not good. She said, it just never was any good. And she said, growing up, I just had a hard time with my vision. But she said that later I got to where with one contact, I was doing well. But then she said it got blurry. And she thought, well, maybe I need to go back to the doctor and see what's the matter with this contact. He said, you are very strange. He said, I've never had this to happen before. He said, your contact is too strong. Your eyes gotten better. Now, one of the reasons I want to throw this in here, because this is a lifelong thing. See, it's not that, and when something's been around a long time, you need to spend the time meditating on it before this ain't me anymore. And she's done that. And so he changed it. And it got worse. And she's driving along one day and she thought, oh man, there's something really bad here. She said, I got to where I could hardly see to drive. So she just stopped and took that contact out and everything was just perfectly clear. Now here she is. I'm pointing this out because this is the day and hour of miracles that we're living in. The outpouring is here. We're in it. We're in it. We're in it. We're in it. And it is just as big financially as it is in healing and miracles and signs and wonders. Part of the sign and wonder is financial signs and wonders. And it don't have to make sense. Amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful things can happen financially and not bound to your employer.
That's right.
Just goofy stuff. It's so wonderful, you think, how did that happen? I don't know.
Yes.
Take the brakes off.
Yes.
Take the brakes off.
Hallelujah.
I mean, hey, come on. Start calling yourself wealthy. Start calling yourself, hey, I walk in miracles and signs and wonders. Glory to God. He meets all my needs according to His riches and glory. And I say it, hallelujah. I say it, I'm increasing financially. And then set those financial goals and don't make them little enough that you can make it.
That's right.
You being able to do it don't give God any glory. Don't, you know, figure, well, I'm going to get this raise and I'm going to get that raise. No, man. Just put it on out there. And get it before your eyes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Just keep looking at that scripture. He supplies my needs according to His riches in glory. I'm a tither and He's the Lord of hosts. Angels are working, ministering spirits. You go get my money, hallelujah, and you get it in here. There's things in the kingdom I need to do. Get it in here, hallelujah. Glory to God. And then it's dancing time, hallelujah. Woo. Dance like David danced.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
How did David dance? He danced till he embarrassed the family. Oh, yeah. His wife said, that's the most vulgar thing I ever saw in my life. He said, yeah, woman, and I'm going to get more vulgar still. Yeah. Amen. Just what the world would call a praising fool. Well, I am. I'm a fool for God. Hallelujah. And I want more and 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 more. I believe I receive more and more and more and more and more and more and more. I receive more and more and I receive more and more. Hallelujah. Now why? So I can give more and 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 more to give more and more. And then I want to give more and more and more and more and more. And then I want to pray for more and more and more. More people, more word. Oh, hallelujah. There sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. He heard Paul speak, or he heard him preach the gospel. And Paul steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet, and up on his feet he came. Praise God. Now, he must thank you, Father. Yes, sir. He had to have heard. Now, what do we already know from Paul's preaching? What do we already know? We already know what he wrote the church at Galatians, excuse me. How Jesus was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. I believe that's what he was preaching. I mean, that's what the man preached.
Amen.
That's right.
You see, they no more than we do today. The Lord doesn't give me a message and I just preach it once and then wonder what in the world I'm going to preach next time. I preach that till he says preach something else. And sometimes it may be a few days. Sometimes it may be a few months. Sometimes it may be a year. I'm not going to go off and change. Not without direction. Because it don't ever come out the same way twice anyway. And if you heard it twice, well, you needed to hear it twice. Amen. So the thing we need to understand here, he wasn't preaching something that didn't include healing.
That's right.
He's preaching the gospel. Well, if you're preaching the gospel, you're going to be preaching healing.
That's right.
If you're preaching the gospel, you're going to be preaching prosperity.
That's right.
You can't cut any of the three full cord out because it's part of it.
Amen.
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 Now, let me just for instance here. This will help you in your Bible study. You remember when Philip went down. Where did he go? Samaria. And what did he do? No, wait a minute. Said he preached Christ. Well, that's the gospel. I know. Hold it. Jesus preached Christ. Christ is a Greek word. Translate it. It's the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one or anointing. Amen. And Jesus preached, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. He could have said, Greg, it could have been translated this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has christened me.
That's right.
It'd be the same word. You see something, don't you? Now, Philip was preaching the same message that Jesus preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and people started getting healed. He's preaching Jesus. He's preaching Christ.
Yeah.
But we struggle with that and say, yeah, he preached Christ. Well, what did he preach? He preached Christ. What did he say? I don't know. Yeah, you do. You just didn't know you knew it. Because Jesus preached that everywhere he went. Everywhere. The scripture proves it. He preached that word throughout all Judea. That was his text everywhere. How the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Glory. Now we're back to Philip preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm plumb excited. I'm plumb up to here. Hallelujah. An insight into this book and what's going on here tonight. Hallelujah. Son, things are happening in your spirit right now, baby. Things are happening out. Things are happening to you out there on the network. Things are happening to you online out there. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hepatitis C was healed right then. Praise God. I literally heard that in my spirit. Glory to God. Rheumatic fever, I heard the Lord say that is being healed. Hallelujah. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Well, when faith cometh, then words cometh. Words cometh. Words come in. Faith cometh. Words go out. People are saved. People are healed. People are delivered by hearing words. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Philip preached Christ. Yeah, he preached Christ. He preached Jesus' sermon. What do you think they were all preaching when they left there? They all went out preaching that same message. They didn't change it. They didn't say anything else. The Apostle Paul was the first one to ever come along that had anything else to say other than that, of that group. What if you, hey, if you're part of that 12, you think you'd be out preaching something on your own? You don't know anything but what you heard him preach for 3 years. That's all you know. That's where Philip got it. Hallelujah. That's the reason he's preaching it. Well, the Apostle Paul comes along and he preached the same thing. Amen. But he brought revelation from heaven into that mix. Hallelujah. He had to establish the new covenant. It had to be someone. It had to be someone that was not part of that 12. And he knew it. Jesus had already, Jesus doesn't do things, he's a man of great equity. He doesn't do things that are unfair. Jesus said, I have shown him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, there's more to that than just the fact that, you know, he just preached in the name of Jesus. No. For the sake of the authority and integrity of that name that's above every name that's named, that he has, that God exalted him and has given him his name. Amen. But that had to be proven in the field. And he did it. He proved it would work. He proved it in the deep night and day. He proved it by being killed a couple of times. Come on, man. Amen. Yeah. At least once we know. Hallelujah. For that name's sake and that authority. This apostle took it to the field and won the battles. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Come on, get in here with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't this gospel absolutely marvelous? But you can't, had you been there hearing the Apostle Paul preach that gospel, you would have had to have mixed your faith with it. It wouldn't happen just because it's the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't happen. No. You'd had to mix your faith with it just like this man did. And because there were unusual signs and wonders by the works of their hands, well, obviously a lot of people did, but the Holy Spirit saw fit to give us this one so we could see and understand what the word of faith is built to do.
Amen.
Like that. Like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He heard him speak. Perceiving he had faith to be healed, he said with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he leaped and he walked. Hallelujah. Say, he leaped.
He leaped.
And he walked.
And he walked.
And he was a happy man. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What did he hear? He heard the gospel. What's the gospel? The word of faith.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We've noticed all the way through this, 3 weeks of broadcast now, the interweavings all the way through the ministry of Jesus. If you go back and study all 19 of those incidences, you will find the person's faith mentioned in, what is it? I think something like 12 of them or so. But if you read and study them, you can find the faith in there on every one of them. Oh, my. We found out, you know, I hear people say, well, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait a while. You know, that's funny. He never has said that to me. But now here's, turn over to 1 John. The key to answered prayer, the key to receiving from God, always, always, always begins with the Word. Are you with me? Believing the Word. Believing the Word. Starting with the Word. Look over here in the fifth chapter of 1 John. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loves him that begat loveth him also that's begotten of him. Or if you love the Father, you love the children. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Are you a believer?
Yes.
Then you have faith.
Yes.
And you're a world overcomer.
Yes.
So all you got to do is get the word and start overcoming. Because you are an overcomer. You don't become an overcomer and then overcome. No, hey, I'm going to put this country style. You done become an overcomer. So get your overcoming self up and start overcoming. You understand? Hallelujah. Now, flowing right down this same line. Right here in this same fifth chapter, you come right down to this place. Now, This is the God is love book. Right? 1 John is God is love. The Apostle John is the one that revealed God is love. That he doesn't have love. He is love. And this little book, that this book is just pregnant with that revelation. Now come down. Verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, say anything.
Amen.
If we ask anything. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. His word is his will. There is no way in this earth or heaven that God would promise you something that was not his will for you to have. I mean, how stupid is that? Amen. Oh, glory to God. We could read it like this. And you preachers, tell me if you flow with this. We know that he hears us. And this is the confidence we have in him. We ask anything according to his word, he hears us. All right, now follow along. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have. We have. I believe I receive it because I know I have it. I know he heard me because I'm praying his word back to him. We have the petitions that we desired of him. We're almost there. We're almost there. How much time have we got, Tim? Oh, I got to get this in here. Hey, you're praying with me, aren't you? Woo-wee. We have the petition we desired of him. Amen. Look at the 18th verse. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. What? Now, wait a minute. Don't jump track. Stay on the same track. Whosoever is born of love sinneth not, but he that's born of love keepeth himself, and that wicked one top touches him not. You stay in that love command. You keep yourself on that love walk. And you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. You just fulfill all of the law, and if there be any other commandment, it is fulfilled with that. So you're walking in the fullness of the commandment, glory to God. And you can go over to the first covenant, go over there and find out about it, hallelujah. If you walk and kept those commandments, the word of God said you serve the Lord your God, he'll take sickness from the midst of you, and the length of your days you'll fulfill. Amen. Doing those things that are right in his sight. Well, what's right in his sight? Keeping the commandments. Walking by faith. Walking in love. Amen. And that wicked one touches him not. That's the straight and narrow way. That love walk. Out here, bam. That's the curse out there. Keep yourself on that line. Repent. Be quick to repent. Quick to repent. Quick to forgive. Very slow to anger. Don't let anger destroy your life. Don't practice it. If you practice anger, you'll get good at it. And the way people practice anger, hey, if you get irritated at a belt loop, you too irritated. You get irritated over your hair. Praying praying for the Sunday morning service, praying for pastor, praying for you. The anointing of God comes on you. And you get mad at your hair. I'm going to tell you what, you about that deep and sinking. You don't have any spiritual depth to you at all. Why? Because you're practicing anger. You get irritated with your car. Get mad at your cell phone and want to throw it in the creek. I don't know why that thing does what it does. Because it's smarter than you are. That's why it does. That's the reason they call it smartphone. If you're having trouble with your hair, just fix it. Who cares? I'm a free man, and I'm a man full of joy, glory to God, and I'm not going to let anger get in my life. I'm not going to get anger in my household, hallelujah. I paid a hard price for that, and I'm not going back there ever again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory, 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 glory. Come on, let's stand up. Stand up on your feet, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love y'all. I'm so glad you came. I've had so much fun with you these last 3 days. My. Thank you so much for coming. You're such a blessing. And I pray the blessing of the Lord on you. I pray the blessing of the Lord on all of you that are watching it through this radio and television audience all over the world. Glory be to God. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, this is the time to do it. You say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life and do something with it. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. I repent of sin. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. I receive healing for my body and peace for my mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We'll be back in just a moment.
Faith calls you to a higher life, a carefree life of health and peace. Know who you are in Christ and how you can live in victory. Let Kenneth Copeland take you on a journey to discover the healing ministry of Jesus. Set your course with these 15 messages from Kenneth Copeland, Faith to be Made Whole, available on DVD or MP3.
All the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, He will take a mind and show it to you. You and I, by the Spirit of God, have access to everything that God has.
Build up your faith for breakthrough. Focus on Jesus and cast out anxiety, care, and fear with God's perfected love toward you. Understand that God's will for you is wholeness. He is the life giver. Be fully persuaded that His word is the final authority in your life.
It is God's will for you to be healed. Start your journey of divine health and wholeness today. Request your copy of Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Faith to be Made Whole. 15 messages free on DVD, MP3 disc, or digital download. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
You know, faith in God is going to give every one of us a story that brings Him glory. And I absolutely love my grandfather's story about how he got born again and what happened when he made Jesus the Lord of his life. Did you hear him tell the story today? Did you hear him say that the war inside of him stopped? What a testimony that is. That's a testimony that says to me and should say to you that you and I can have that kind of peace in God, but it only begins when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if Jesus isn't your Lord, than he can be right now. Stop what you're doing and just pray this prayer. Say it out loud after me. Say, Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart. I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe you raised him from the dead. Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. I receive your forgiveness. Wash me clean and make me new. And fill me, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. I receive this gift from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer, you're born again. I know it sounds simple, but it's what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us that all the angels of heaven rejoice when one comes home. And you need to know that everybody here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries is excited about it too. We're excited to have you as a part of the family. And if you prayed this prayer today and Jesus is now your Lord, we've got a gift that we want to send to you. It's a book called He Did It All For You. It's by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Along with that, we're going to send you these two little brochures about how to study your Bible, where to even begin in your Bible. There's some great answers to some questions I know you have. And if you want this, all you have to do is request it. It's free. We'll send it to you. Just go to kcm.org, request the salvation package, and let us put this in your hand. And let us say, on behalf of God and all the angels, how thrilled we are to have you in the household of faith.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
He knows you missed it. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. It's impossible. He is love. He can be no less. You can't do anything to make him love you anymore. He just loves you. Amen.
May 4th through 5th, register now for the Radiant Women's Conference at the Marriott Hotel and Golf Club in Fort Worth, Texas. May 18th through 19th, Kenneth Copeland invites you to the Peru Victory Campaign at Eduardo Vivos Coliseum in Avenida Aviacion, Lima, Peru. May 31st through June 2nd, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Convention Center in Sacramento, California. June 27th through 29th, this summer, join Brother Copeland on the Mountain at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory is Offering Day. Let me read this to you out of the book of Galatians chapter 6. It says, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Many of you watching this broadcast right now, you're partners. And I want you to know on behalf of my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, on behalf of this staff here in Fort Worth, Texas, and all over the world, we thank God for you. We pray for you every single day. We call you blessed. We call you increased, multiplied, you and your children. And we believe that everything you set your hand to do is prospering. And you can never live another day in your life saying, nobody loves me, nobody prays for me. Somebody is praying for you every single day of the world here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And through your faith, through your prayer, through your financial support, my grandparents are now in their 51st year of ministry, preaching Jesus all over the world from the top to the bottom. And you're a part of that. You're a part of every life that's been changed. You're a part of every person that's been born again. Every time the word goes into a prison, you're a part of it. Every time the word goes into a convention center or into a church or any place somebody will hear it, you're a part of that. And we thank God for you. And if you're not yet a partner with this ministry, find out from the Lord. Does he have a part for you to play? If so, get involved and do it with all your heart. We love you so much. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you again next time on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Until then, remember, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.